don't give a damn if it's 9 a.m. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. My football team's got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this mood I'm in. My football team's got me drinking.
Back at it again with the Blue Testament crew. Here for another Shades of Blue soccer show. I'm going to start us off tonight with rapid fire from our favorite things from Friday night, because holy goals. So your favorite thing, event, situation, what have you. I'm just going to go around the circle here. I'm going to start it. My name is Cody Bradley. My favorite thing from Friday night was we got to witness the birth of the sporting legend that is Johnny Russell. Thad, favorite thing?
All the goals were on the end that I was at shooting the game. Perfect.
Beautiful. I had two friends come to the game, and they were first-timers, and what a game for them to come to.
Yeah, my favorite thing, this is Allie, or Sky, as I'm somehow famously known, and my favorite thing was seeing Krause really kind of come into his own and get to experience that goal in that moment, so really happy for him.
Yes, we are now, if you guys haven't seen, so we're recording this Sunday night after the completion of the MLS weekend, and Sporting Kansas City is sitting atop the supporters shield right now as New York City FC lost by 3 goals. So now we're level with them on points, and we're ahead on goal differential and goals scored.
Goals scored.
I like it. I love it.
Yeah, 6 goals adds up quickly.
Yes, in one game. Beautiful. Okay, so let's continue our introductory series.
Let's
we have one
it.
Left, and it is the head honcho, the man himself, Thad Bell.
Hi.
And that is the introduction of Thad Bell, and we're
going to
move
on.
That's it, and that's all. Okay, yeah, say things about yourself.
Oh, man, I hate doing this.
Yeah,
that's why I kept putting
it
off.
I could tell you would, and that's why I wanted to just throw it at you like that.
Okay.
Once upon a time.
I grew up across the state.
Boo.
Soccer.
Three of us four, yes.
Yes. Soccer was a constant thing over there. But I would not have gotten into it without a school counselor called Mr. Nunn, who started a school team, and we got our butts kicked regularly by lots and lots of Catholic schools. But that was a basis, and then ever since I kept going at it at different places. My school didn't have soccer, so I pretty much had to play it a little bit here, a little bit there. When I was in the Marine Corps, I played it a few times here and there. I played it in one really, really, what I think is an interesting place. I should almost make you guys guess, but it would never work. I could never give you the right clues. So one of my very, very minor claims to fame is while I was in a deployment to Korea, they came through and go, anybody know how to play soccer or anybody want to play soccer? And I said, sure. So we went and played a Korean Marine soccer team.
Like
you
like,
and how many others?
Korean Marines versus American Marines.
Yes.
That sounds pretty legit.
It was fun. It was mildly violent, but most of the Marines did not really know how to play soccer very well.
that's what I was going to say. I bet yeah. It was just a lot of, like, fighting.
But the Korean Marines did, so they were, like, a base team. So no, like, every base I was at actually had soccer teams, or almost every base. And I'd, like, play with them every once in a while, but just most of the time the stuff I did didn't let me have the time. But so anyway, we played this game. And we played it. It was a symbolic, like, little friendship thing, blah, 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 you know, the dog and pony shows. But it was at a field in Seoul that was being built at the time to be an Olympic stadium.
Oh.
Which is where the Olympics and future World Cup games were played. So I played on the same field that Peter Vermees did before he did.
Wow. Yeah, you got to let him know that.
Well, that
you,
that's my
you broke it in for
you.
Him.
Okay, yeah. And then...
By the way, the Americans lost that game pretty seriously. But
if you're from St. Louis, though, me. You have to tell us what high school you went to, because that's the St. Louis thing.
Orchard Farm.
Oh.
Heard of that,
sounds
but where
you.
Is
okay.
it?
Sounds made
but,
up.
Like, where is it?
north of St. Charles.
Okay.
The entire north half of St. Charles County goes to Orchard Farm.
Did you have prepackaged meat and cheese things
yeah,
for
I was
lunch
gonna say,
every day?
I was like, it sounds like that. Oh, that's Hillshire Farms.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, same
I was like,
thing.
What the hell is he talking about?
Bob, I got you.
I was Pepperidge Farm.
Yeah, well, hey, Orchard Farm, whatever.
Hey, okay. Go meat.
So I grew up on a river.
Okay.
My dad ran a boat harbor, so I lived in a boat harbor for a long time.
Okay. This like doesn't sound like the St. Louis I know. We had very different St. Louis experiences growing up.
Yes, we did.
Oh my God. Okay, so how did you become a reporter? I'm officially going to call you a reporter.
Yeah, okay. That's
photog
a good question.
Reporter?
I'll first start with how I ended up in Kansas City. Was a friend of mine called me up saying, do you still hate your job? That after I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to St. Louis and got a job. And I said, yes, I still hate my job. And he goes, we have one over here that's doing the same thing for like $10,000 a year or more. I said, bye, Mom. And moved 4 hours away to here. So while I was here, I was working for a large company in town that like does phone service. But I don't want to give them any bad... It was a good time for the most part. But economy and all that stuff was like pretty horrible, and I was having to lay people off all the friggin' time.
Ooh.
I had at one point about 55, 60 people reporting to me, and over a year I lost like 10 or 15 of them just having to lay them off because the way the company was working.
Bless you, Cody.
Bless you, Cody.
I backed away from the mic. I'm not putting a dollar in the jar.
So, yeah, no, good job, Cody. Very professional. So, anyway, I got tired of laying people off, and one weekday I took a day off and went down to Kansas City Wizards practice and walked in because they were like inviting fans to come down there at that point. You know, they were trying to get any kind of publicity they could. And I said, hey, can I take a couple pictures? And they said, sure. And I posted them on Big Soccer and people were like, hey, you know, that's because nobody did that. Nobody had training pictures at all back then. So then next thing I know, I started.
You're a trailblazer.
Yeah, kind of. Yay. So I started a blog so that people could, they would all be in the same place and I could kind of like write a little bit about what happened that I saw.
The Backpost.
Backpost.net. So one thing led to another and they started treating me like I was media and I took advantage of that. And my corporate job was very tiresome because I got tired of laying people off. So I laid myself off one summer thinking that I would take the summer off, go work on my photography skills. Get to know my daughter better, who like wasn't really sure if I was her dad or not because I was working so much.
Wow.
And I would then maybe go to work in the fall, you know, figure to get a tan, go to the pool, you know, all that good stuff, right? Well, that was a bad year to do that. Economy kind of crashed and people started like treating me like I was a reporter and people started like treating me like as a photographer and asking me to do jobs for them. And
So you're saying you just fell ass backwards back into it.
Completely.
That's what it sounds like.
Completely. And I'm not denying it in any way, shape, or form. If I had ever intended to be a journalist, I would be a better writer because I would have like tried to do that in school. But instead, I'm an old IT guy. So, you know, if everything I write is like abbreviations and acronyms and...
You're not giving yourself enough credit. That's a great writer. Check out his stuff on Blue Testament.
No need to suck up,
you
Sky.
You have earned plenty of respect, sir.
Okay, questions for the man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Marines. Was any interesting Marine experiences besides the soccer one that really stand out to you that are something you really learned while you were in the Marines? Or?
Lots of really good experiences. I mean, went to boot camp in San Diego, school in Quantico, Virginia, was in Albany, Georgia for a year, Okinawa for three, 29 Palms for three. While I was in Okinawa, almost a year of that was spent in Korea on deployments. I went to Philippines, a few other miscellaneous little countries over there,
wow,
visiting islands, swimming.
This dude is interesting AF. He was also a fencer.
Really?
I did fence for a while. I just try to always like learn new things. It used to be my goal that every month I would try something new that I had not done before. Like it could be artsy, like go to an opera or a different kind of play or listen to a different kind of music, read a book that wasn't, you know, I mean, just I always try to do something new. One of my goals in life has always been that I want to be able to talk about any subject with somebody who really knows what they're talking about for 5 minutes, but without sounding stupid. Now, that might be asking reasonably decent questions. That may not be that I have to know what's going on, but I just wanted I always wanted to be able to be, I wanted to be well-rounded, so.
Bad Bill.
If more people lived by that mantra, we would have a way better world, I think.
International intriguing man, Thad Bell.
Do you still go to the opera and ballet?
I do go to the ballet once in a while. It's more like once a year or twice, maybe, because I try to make sure that I have a teenage daughter. My wife and I started a little bit late, so I have a teenage daughter, and I left her soccer game early to come to this podcast.
Nice,
but
dedication.
So anyway,
I love going to the Kauffman Center for those.
It is a beautiful place. I've been there for the Nutcracker. I've been there for music. I've heard my daughter play in one of the, not the big hall, but one of the small ones there. I've been there doing photos for a fashion magazine. So yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Okay. I had a question and then I forgot it. You started talking about, you got me on the ballet.
Anything about soccer, was it?
Yeah, well, I have a question. You know, you've kind of been covering this team longer than most and have seen it from, you know, the Wizards in the beginning, going to the games one of, like, five fans. What's been the coolest thing that you've seen from the time you started to now? With the club.
You know, yeah, there's some things I can't say, but statute of limitations are still... No. one of the most fun moments that I will say that I've had, and I'll... A couple of them is I've really got to know some of the players pretty well. I mean, mm-hmm. I never try to like go be their buddies because I try to maintain a little bit distance. But some of them I've gotten to know pretty well and seen them kind of go from being a nobody to really good players. And some of the players that I would have maybe if I was just a fan, I would have had a better liking for those players. But after I got to see them in practices, I detest them. Josh Wolf. So, I mean, some of that's really cool, but, like, two of my favorite moments, one was the Manchester United game, because I was on the field for that, and it was a big turning point, I think, in Sporting Kansas City's history, because a lot of people went, oh, wow, this team can actually play with somebody good, and the players that were there at that moment, they ended up playing a man down because of a red card. And
yeah, that was a classic moment in our history, for sure.
You know, 50,000 fans were there, and most of them were there for Man U. And by the end of the game, they were cheering for Kansas City. And then I think the next one was probably the Open Cup win, and because I was on the field for shooting that.
2012?
Yeah. Because that one, it was kind of funny because one of the VPs who was there at the time had said that, you know, if we go to Open Cup final or MLS Cup final, you've been such a loyal fan, I'm gonna like buy you a ticket to it. I said, cool. So then the Open Cup final's here and he doesn't have to buy a ticket, and then the MLS Cup final's here, so he didn't have to buy a ticket, and now he's no longer with the team, so
well, maybe he can help you out in another way sometime. Another ticket.
Okay, well, I want people to know about you is that you're like, he's like the nicest guy. He's got the friendliest face. He looks very cuddly and just nice and friendly. But
and
also,
then he gives you that look.
But then, yes, he gives looks like that. But then also, every now and then, he'll like lay something down for you and just throw this sentence out about just causing harm to another person or breaking someone's leg or how bad he wants to do it in a game or things like that. It's just he's low key got this that he'll stick something in there that he's kind of scary a little bit.
I may have been violent once or twice in my life.
I've heard you've told me stories about more than one of those. I have a name that just very naturally comes out of my mouth when it's like I think it's a term of endearment to call him, but he hates it. And he said the last time someone called him a name he didn't like, he overturned a desk and threw them down. That's what I'm talking about. Nicest, cuddliest guy ever, but he's also like, don't mess with him.
No, that was just middle school, man.
Is that why you have two monitors, a mixing board, and a table between you and him?
That's why I've made sure to keep my distance.
You cannot punch people as much as you used to be able to get away with.
Exactly, yeah.
What does this world come to?
I know.
Ridiculous.
Some people just deserve it, truly.
Yeah,
okay,
well.
Let's just move on to general discussion about the glory that was Friday night. Someone just say something wonderful to get us started.
Johnny Russell.
Johnny Russell, there you
Johnny
go.
Johnny Russell.
That's what I figured there you go, was going to happen.
Wonderful. Johnny Russell.
Yes. Oh, my God. He's a legend, man. Those pictures of the fire in his eyes, that's never going to go away. He's one of us. I love it.
By the way, Dear Cauldron and South Stand, you need a better song, chant, something
yes,
than Johnny
I'm so tired
Russell.
Of Johnny Russell.
Or agreed. Whoever. Ico Parra. Okay.
That's not creative.
Okay.
We need something. He Dear deserves Cauldron. Better.
Dear Cauldron, I love you guys. You're wonderful. You're awesome. South Stand, same thing. But this is time for two things to happen. A, every single player that is important to this team needs a song that's something other than na 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 na. Okay, that's
I agree.
Overdone. Forget it. Okay, Johnny Russell has a song. If you don't like to come up with a new one, adopt the one from Darby. I don't care. Two,
we need to sing something.
Two, this team has also been around long enough to have a damn anthem, something that the whole damn stadium can sing besides "I Believe We Will Win." Okay, cool. That worked. Got everybody involved. But now it's time to have some anthem. If it hasn't showed up organically by now, freaking come up with one.
I'll get to work. I'll start.
Sorry,
start
I know that was not exactly about this game, but it was on my mind earlier.
And whoever did the Wikipedia owner of the Vancouver Whitecaps and put Johnny Russell there, kudos to whoever that was.
Yeah, that was good.
That's if I'm being honest. That one is getting a little old.
Yeah, but still, it's good.
I thought that was really cool in like 2010 when someone would do that.
Honestly, yes. Any meme I saw about Johnny Russell, yes. I liked.
But
no
that
matter
was
how
a definition
was,
of owning
like,
a team is what Johnny
he,
did.
Yeah, he was incredible. Like yeah. he
everything was getting thumbs up and retweeted and liked on that night.
Yeah, I've actually never. You guys should have seen Bob in the press box trying to write the recap for this game. Like, it was a near impossible task because of that first half, things were happening left and right. And, like, it's hard to get down the important details when the next big thing is unfolding right in front of you. So,
I'm like, Allie, I'm just going to give up on my pension for all the details and just get this done.
it's harder to, like, write something like that than, you know, a 1-0 game that's been...
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The boring games, even though they're probably the... not read as much.
right.
People aren't as excited to read about them. They are easier to write. It's the ones that, you know, you've got to pack in all the action. But, yeah, I mean, my thumbs were flying, like, with Twitter, just trying to keep up. And, yeah, it was a good night on social media for Sporting Kansas City.
It was a good night for everybody.
For everybody.
Something we talked about last week, Bob was posing the question of our striker situation. Now, I'll even forget the three goals after the two red cards, but I'm going to go ahead and say again that we're fine without a expensive replacement for Dom Dwyer. Three goals before the red cards. I think we're sitting pretty, even with Kyrie Shelton still scoreless. Eight games in.
Well, I will say, I agree. I think I read a comment that someone wrote somewhere or something just like, Kyrie Shelton, though, if it's a 0-0 game in playoffs and he can't put away a goal to, like, lift Sporting ahead and, like, Johnny Russell's not getting the looks because he's being either, you know, defended or he's just not getting those chances, then it's a problem. So it's, like, nights like Friday where Johnny Russell is just doing whatever Johnny Russell does, then it's not a problem. But, yeah, I mean, I'm conflicted in that because it could either cost us big time later on when it matters or... it's just not a problem for us this season, and we.
But did he mess up at all? Did he have any big chances he should have converted and missed?
Not big chances, but it would be nice to maybe see a little bit more, just like that same drive that you see from like Johnny and some of those other guys in the box. And I think you don't see that like that will to score as much from him. And maybe like, you know, again, it's not a problem. Maybe he does enough in other areas, but yeah, you definitely get a different vibe from him.
Yeah, I completely agree with that drive comment.
There was one moment he said screw it and launched one.
Yeah,
he like
yeah.
turned and shot. I like that.
But I think what the deal here is, and you know, you guys can discuss this what you think, but the bringing in of Felipe, the bringing out of Russell has upped people's expectations. And Kyrie is just not living up to them. And we get somebody that is like that as a center forward, it's going to make us more dangerous, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I like your point about the playoffs, too. We're going to need everything we can get in the stretch run in the playoffs to go where we want to go.
There's probably something to be said that if Johnny Russell is going to be like so ridiculously dominant and the defenses are going to have to start focusing on him, then Kyrie's going to start to get a little more room, maybe. So I'm excited to see.
But will
they
do anything with it?
Well, yeah, that's the question for sure.
Yeah.
But I think he's due to get a little more space here. And when Felipe comes back, too, I think that'll help the creativity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Another thing in terms of goal scoring, too, is I'm curious to see after Krause opens his account with Sporting on Friday, is that going to yield some more goals from him? Maybe some that confidence, will that help him in the attacking third?
Or will he even get to play?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Peter's got some decisions to make once Felipe is healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, Gerso wasn't even in the 18 this week. We don't know why, but, you know, so that was interesting too. But
was Krause really, really better this game?
Really, really better?
I wouldn't say really, really better, but I would say this was, in terms of, like, confidence and actually looking like he knew what he was doing out there. Not that he's looked like he didn't know what he was doing, but he had some good, like, defensive moments. He had some good, like, really good looks at assists to Lobato. I thought was great. His goal was great. I think he was connecting a lot. I don't know. Like,
I
wouldn't say, like, that he was the best player on the field that night, but.
Well, no, Johnny Russell.
He's
getting more comfortable, and he's getting more confident. It's just taken so long. But there are so many times still when he has a long touch, when he seems a little naive out there still. So, yeah.
Or like he'll do the thing and there was a better option if he had just done.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So that's why there's one reason I was asking that question is I wanted to see what other people thought. And I've seen some people like, oh, yeah, it was a great game for him. And some people, they were still hating
DP level. Somebody said in our comments, I was like, no.
Well, if you look at, again, Cody's favorite thing, the Audi Index, he was actually the top one over Johnny Russell. If you look at another site, whoscored.com's ratings, he was the second best player in that game right behind Johnny Russell as far as their ratings.
Same with FootMob, what I'm looking at right now.
And I know that's just based on stats, which is, you know, passes, runs,
and
blah, blah, blah.
Those stats were 89% passing, 7 total shots, 2 on target.
He did get robbed on that one by Dijon on the goal line.
I mean, he should have had 2 goals.
Yeah.
And not because he, like, placed it badly and the keeper saved it. He placed it correctly, and Dijon just stepped in at the right moment to get
it. Marinovic showboated a save on one of his shots a little bit, but, you know, it was a nice shot.
You can say, like, he's not doing this right, that right, and he needs to do this better and that better, which, you know, is all valid criticism. But is he the guy that we can now say, okay, hey, he can be the number 10 if Felipe's not? Maybe he can be the withdrawn forward number 9, false 9 kind of guy.
That's what he seems to play more of when he even plays Felipe's spot.
So maybe that is the spot for him in the future. And
yeah.
Some guys come in and start right away and adapt really quickly, and some have to take a long time and do it slowly. But if he becomes the guy that at the end of the year is, you know, scoring a goal every couple games, playing in the number 9 or something like that, we're going to look back at this and go, oh, crap. Why did we ever criticize him?
Yeah.
That's still a long ways away, though.
Right.
So Johnny Russell with the 8th hat trick in Sporting Kansas City history, which is a little depressing, if we're just being perfectly honest. 8?
Over 21 and a half seasons, or 21 and a quarter, or whatever, 21 and a third, I don't know, whatever.
That is just disappointing. I'm hoping that it's just MLS ones, because Dom had, I know we've had a couple in Open Cup at least. I'm going to assume there was another one other than
Dom
Dwyer.
I'm pretty sure it's only MLS ones,
in our history. okay, so the 8th one, and he did it in like 40, when was it? The
48 minutes?
48 minutes.
48, 49.
And as we've seen all year, used every ounce of everything that he had in that amount of time and was immediately subbed out.
And then went to get a massage directly, which I don't blame him.
Which actually, I was hoping actually that Peter would sub him at half, quite honestly. He'd already had two goals. I know you want to give him the chance for a hat trick, but he had that yellow from the minor little incident earlier in the game.
Yeah. No, I think, I mean, I'm glad he got that hat trick, but I agree. I think getting him out when they did, and granted, I think he was gassed too at that point to play, you know, another 30 minutes. But yeah, I wish when I got done with work, they sent me straight to the massage room. That would be nice.
Of course, he did have that one call back that was offside that he scored.
Yep. But,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I never actually looked at that.
And
I actually think Crozet was offside on his goal, but who cares?
I saw that that Matthew Doyle tweeted that picture. I'm not entirely sure on that
Who's Matthew Doyle, at that point, anyway?
Does it really matter?
He tweeted it like, "Oh, look at this blatantly offside." I looked at it for a long time, and that looks like they're in a line to me.
Yeah, and then
if not, it's one of those. Everyone always has that screenshot. But, like, the ball is very blurry when leaving that player's foot. You know what I mean? It's like they always have that screenshot. Like, it's a definitive thing. But then you never know where that ball or if those exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
You have to, like, really check that frame closely.
Right. Okay. Other tidbits from the game.
Chiefs players were there,
which
is cool.
By the way, the offside modeling Twitter thinks that he was on.
Really?
That he was not off.
Oh, okay.
So I was just double-checking that.
We can give them a shout out. That guy seems to work pretty hard. It's like, what is it? Soccer photogrammetry.
Soccer
photogrammetry on Twitter.
Offside modeling.
That guy really does work hard, and they look legit to me. So
no, I've actually talked to the guy, and he will actually. He's really, really, really careful about it, and trying to make sure that he's like unbiased. He'll actually, even. Go harsher on the teams that he likes just to make sure that he's keeping a clean, unbiased point of view.
Okay, I want to talk about Emiliano Amor. That dude's name needs to be said.
Love.
First appearance in the jersey, in the kit, is a 90-minute shutout. Like, get it, kid.
One not-so-great moment, but and then, you know, a half where he really didn't have to do as much defensively.
Yeah, I was going to say, a half where he was playing at the half-field line, but... Yeah, no, I thought he had some really strong moments. He looked really strong back there, and he looked a lot taller and bigger than I.
He's a
pretty like he's stocky guy. But yeah, I thought he had some good stops. And I know Thad, you mentioned that one close one, which was that you who just said that, or am I like?
Yeah. Well, no, Thad said.
No, I just said it. But
okay, sorry. But yeah, other than that, and luckily, you know, nothing came of it. But I think he showed that he can play.
He looks more comfortable on the ball than maybe Mr. Ike does. So I was
more
impressed with that. Yeah.
Mm.
I thought so.
Well, that's good to hear. I didn't even really notice that.
Seems a better passer than Ike overall, but hey, you know, we've got a good backup, and that's what's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, and we don't feel bad about giving Ike a rest or, you know, Captain B's a rest maybe.
Exactly.
If
Moore
can step in. And again, Didich isn't bad back there either, so.
Just one game, sample size is small, but, you know, it's good to see.
And we should note that almost goal, the miraculous save, and it was a miraculous save. I'm talking good about a keeper. Miraculous save.
Yes, he is. Whoa.
He was more than a tree.
Mark this down.
Yes, obviously, much more than a tree. I seriously, from the press box, I don't know how it even physically happened. I don't know how he saved it. But with Amor, that was he was one of the few players that you could point a finger at on letting that ball get through there. But it was a very good pass.
Yeah, I just don't feel that Amor or Ilya pressured the passer as much as they should have. They both kind of backed off. Amor backed off of him right before the pass. But, you know.
And am I wrong? Like, that save was that good, right? That wasn't just, like, really bad from...
He could have maybe done better initially before he got the shot off, but then once he got the shot off, that was
the touch. The touch around him looked like he was so far around him, and just he saw the wide open goal, and then all of a sudden, I saw the ball bounce away. Like I have no idea how he saved that. It was amazing.
He used the force.
It was a great save, but I bet Reyna is kicking himself for not taking one more touch to get a little more distance away. Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, it was a great save.
Yeah. Tim has a great, great leaping ability in that kind of situation. So I'll do credit to him, man.
Yeah, that was, yeah, I agree. I think the touch could have been a little bit further and he could have put himself in a way better scoring position.
A great save.
He sucked those branches out there and knocked that ball down.
Oh, yeah. those roots were
saplings.
Running deep. Yeah.
No, you should take this as that I'm a rational, logical person. When I see a good play, it's a good play. But Jimmy Madronda's goal, come on, keep. Come on.
Have you seen the view of that from the reverse angle?
Yes,
from the
crowd.
Sure it was a keeper mistake. That was just a hell of a shot.
The fan view, that was very good. But also, it literally went directly over his head. I know the ball was moving. I know it was a very good shot. But keeper should have done better.
That ball was headed 4 feet over the goal and then curled, dipped, and curved at the same time.
I haven't seen the shot. I need to see the shot.
Yeah, that was one of the most, I loved all of Johnny's goals just in the sense that he got three of them and he got, the hat trick. But I think Jimmy's goal was my favorite. Just, it was so unexpected. That was the one that, shocked me the most. I was like, whoa, okay, I guess that's... This is a podcast, Bob. Come on.
That was the one I didn't even know I didn't even know who scored because last thing I saw was Shallowy had the ball. I saw him, moving like he was going to do something with it. I looked to my left to see who was maybe coming from that way, and I started moving that way thinking, here comes Johnny Russell or Graham Zusi to get the ball or, head it or something. And next thing I know, the ball's coming. I look up, and the ball's dipping into the net. I'm like, what the?
Well, the first time you look at that, you're like, okay, did he mean that? And then you watch the replay, and you're like, oh, yeah, he meant that.
That was not a cross. Yeah, the first thing people were saying was, did he mean to cross that? And it was no, that was just a great instinct, he saw an opening and he didn't have pressure on him. I that is one thing. When it happens and it happens well, it's just yes.
Yeah.
Goals from outside.
My favorite goal from the day was that we finally nailed a set piece corner piece. A set piece corner kick. From the training ground. It just went off so perfectly. And I was right in the corner in the cauldron for it. I went down that time.
That's where you were, okay.
And I zoomed in. I was zoomed in perfectly on him the entire time, and it was the best snapshot I've ever taken in my life, and I will never beat that one ever again. I got the whole thing.
I need to see it.
Okay, after the show, because this is a podcast, so it's not going to help them very much. Well, I'll put it on our Instagram.
Yeah. If you want to talk technical things on that play, the pass from Beasler was great. The dummy by Espinoza was great. But it was Johnny's long touch, the first touch he took, put him in position to score that goal.
I mean, the first touch and, then, touch and then the chip, obviously. Yeah. Just, he's so smooth. Oh, I love it so much. So classy.
Thank you again, Darby.
We are going to rename our podcast The Johnny Russell Show. I think it would be more fitting.
I want him to, do our intro. We need to get him recording a... you're listening to kind of thing. okay, let's try a negative if there was one. Mike pointed it out that he was, and some people were waiting on Jalen Lindsey's debut, who looked really good in preseason, been on the bench almost every game, is a hopeful for American soccer future, and we didn't see him. I was very surprised to see Felipe come in, but... Peter explained his logic there.
Yeah, it was more important to get Felipe a little game rhythm than it was to get Lindsey his debut. So,
yeah.
Perfect game for Felipe to come in and get back. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To me, the subs were quite all right, taking Russell out.
Gotta get the standing O.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I know a lot of people said they were super disappointed about that, but that was... would it have been nice to get Lindsey his debut? But it was way, way, way down the list for me.
Yeah, I feel like we'll see him Open Cup. I can't really see him getting in regular season for play in the next couple weeks at least.
I mean, if Zusi gets a knock or he's looking gassed or there's another 6-0 blowout,
which I'm sure
God
there will
willing,
be.
Yeah. That's just standard for us.
But it'll be more important to get Russell rest, Felipe rest. They're playing all the time, so
definitely.
It's more important for that than it is to get the young guy his debut. Yet,
Now, speaking of Felipe, I don't know if we want to go there yet, but there's a little confusion on social media that Matt Doyle was picking on our Felipe when he's really picking on theirs. But yeah. Did you see in the eighth minute Felipe kind of kicking out at Roger Espinosa as Roger ran by? Anybody see that?
I don't think that I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Roger, I do not like him.
Looking at the refs like, what the heck? You know?
I saw Roger do that, but I didn't see why.
Yeah, it's because Felipe kicked out at him as he ran by. Yeah,
and then when I went back and watched the replay or the game again, I didn't notice it. So,
yeah, kind of a foreshadowing of events
later,
perhaps. I don't know.
Okay, and this is another question. I saw a lot of people saying that Roger was never touched, and it was just a dive.
He was not touched at all.
I don't think
he was too.
No, he was not. Look at the replay.
Well, even if he was, that should have
been
a yellow.
You can see his shoe move from when he got caught by the cleat.
No, he's just avoiding the tackle.
You can see his shoe move. No. Pull it up.
We're going to the tape.
No, he's avoiding the tackle. I've watched.
How
it
does his shoe
times.
Move when the when when Watson's cleat catches him on the back of his heel? Cleat catches him on the Achilles.
I disagree.
Okay, but I need you to condemn him in some way for the overreaction and the rolling around on the ground that ensued.
Have you got cleated in your Achilles while you're running?
Cleated. I understand maybe there was contact, but did he get cleated like that?
Have you caught a cleat? I'm going to say it's the hardest cleat in the world, but a cleat in your Achilles
I've
while you're running?
I've caught cleats, yeah. Okay.
I don't think that happened, but
okay. Yeah, I'm not that. That's my thing is I'm
Bob,
not
you're wrong.
That's exactly what
no,
I love
bad,
you, Bob.
You're wrong.
And he's
going to
go with the book.
Yeah, we're a radio show, and we're watching things on camera right now. I, for me, like, so
oh,
the red card to, Rainier. That was debatable, maybe, I guess, but like, you can grab someone by the neck and throw them to the ground. Like, I'll call that a red card.
Yeah.
I think they got it right.
I have no problem with either of those red cards.
The Sporting Kansas City players did very well on towing that line. They know how to almost fight. We won the hell out of this almost fight.
Won the hell.
Johnny got a deserved yellow for running over and pushing Watson.
Yeah, exactly. His best. There is not much. You cannot get much more Sporting Kansas City than getting in the face of Kendall Waston. There's not much more Sporting Kansas City you can do than do that.
I have never understood how Watson doesn't get thrown out of more games. I mean, how many times has he gotten like red cards retroactively? You know? I think it was two or three times in the last couple of years.
Right. Well, this is thoroughly ridiculous. So we're gonna go to break. Let's go to break. When we come back from break, we're going to talk a little more about that, see how wrong Thad was, and we're not going to do a preview for the New England game just yet. We're going to save that for one later on in the week. Yes, take a break.
When we win, we celebrate. When we lose, we swear. It's not a night for the faint of heart, so all you gents beware. But it's a football night. But it's a football night. We can gather all the friends all around that Zoom. That's not a better thing to do. But it's a football night. Well, it's a football night. When the final whistle blows, we're gonna celebrate tonight. When the final whistle blows, we're gonna celebrate tonight. When the final whistle blows, you know we're gonna feel alright.
Alright, we are back. And Angry Thad has dissipated. I told you, I warned you at the beginning of the show, the guy can get crazy. We had to go to break. He was throwing things around the studio. But really, no, I will acknowledge I went from absolutely no contact to I will acknowledge something. There was something there. But I still don't like Roger's embellishment on the ground.
Yeah,
I think he probably was sent to the ground because it was a foul.
I think, yes, there was a
and
foul.
And a bad tackle.
I think so.
But,
I don't know how much pain he was in, because I don't know how much it caught him, but I know it did catch him. And again, I'm just going off of when I've got caught on the Achilles before. Well, you know, even if it was a grazing one while I'm playing, that can hurt, and you can, like, damn, and for 30 seconds and then get up. But, he probably didn't need to roll around for 2 minutes, but then again, when Watson's standing over top of me, I may not get up either.
Yeah, there are no rules when Kendall Watson is involved. Oh, I hate that man. Okay, let's try to do some is or isn'ts.
Alrighty. Well, I've got two or you want three? What are we
looking
at?
Two feels right.
Two. Okay. All right. Well, I've already introduced one of them, so we'll go just, you know, each of you reaction.
If they're quick, maybe three.
Okay. So, Thad, is Roger going to get disciplined by the MLS Discipline Committee this week or not?
No. Isn't.
Allie.
Isn't.
Cody. All right. Because you don't think he was embellishing too much?
I think, like, yeah, he may have been a little over the top, but I don't think he was excessive in his. And, again, we don't know how much contact. That's kind of unclear, so kind of hard to say.
What's the technical term for this? What's it categorized as?
I've just seen worse go unpunished, so yeah. I think he's probably all right.
You mean like Dom Dwyer?
Yes. Yes.
Dom Dwyer running into a defender, falling down, and getting a PK.
And what's that one? PK? That one, there's no proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
The old NFL okay. adage.
Yeah, there's no way you can say that he wasn't hurt. Because now that you have seen that there was at least some contact, you cannot say he was not hurt.
Okay. All right.
It was not a dive.
All right, next one then. Is this team worthy of Supporters Shield MLS Cup talk, or isn't it? Cody.
Is. No longer. You cannot deny it.
Just give your is. Okay. All right.
Is.
Allie. Thad.
Is not.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they are currently on top, so wasn't the question if they're in the discussion?
Is it worthy? Is this team worthy of Supporters Shield MLS Cup talk,
I think the team
talk,
who is currently
it?
Winning is worthy. I think that's hard to deny. Bad.
A year ago at this time, if you were looking at the, not necessarily the total points, but the points per game, so you could kind of like average it out by that, Sporting was also in consideration for the Supporters Shield. This team needs to prove, because historically they can start strong and finish weak.
Exactly.
This team needs to show that they are continuing to stay strong, and that Felipe and Johnny Russell and goals by committee, which it's a hell of a committee at this point, minus a number 9 scoring, which we've talked about and we'll probably talk about every damn week until we sign another number 9.
Yeah, that really is something every single week. Him and Krause are just the recurring themes.
So at least Krause can be moved to like category B now.
Yes, okay. That's true.
He's played better and he scored a goal. Kyrie, we love you. You're a nice guy. I think you can do better. Just got to do it. So anyway, that's the only reason I'm saying they're. It is not okay to say they're in Supporters Shield contention because there's so much time left to go, and they. I'll leave it at that.
Based on the nature of the question and the term discussion, I agree with Cody. The team, and I agree with you that I do think, you know, there's still a lot of season left. They are, like you said, known to start strong, but I think that yes, they very much so deserve it.
This year just seems like they're in such a better position than every other year. It's all of the what they're doing seems to be something they can replicate and even do better than if/when Kyrie starts scoring or if/when Felipe returns. That's my the versatility and, you know, like Gerso, like Bobby mentioned, not even in the roster for a 6-0 win. And there are just so many more weapons this year. There's so many more reasons to think that this can continue compared to last year and years past.
And the question was asked by one Diego Gutierrez in the post-conference. You know, what is making the difference? We're moving the ball so much quicker. And, you know, Peter said it's the quality of players, after joking, it's the coaching. But anyway.
That was funny.
But, yeah, I mean, the way they're moving the ball, I mean, I've rewatched this game twice now, and just the way they move the ball is just so much better than it's been in past years. And everybody is so much better on the ball around the whole 11. You know, so it seems to be something distinctly different. But, yeah, does it have lasting power? Can they do that? That's obviously the big question.
Because teams are going to be looking for ways to minimize the damage of the movement. Last year at this time, we were talking about how fast this team was, how young it was. You had Gerso with speed. You had Latif with speed.
Right.
You had Shallowy. You had Dom Dwyer, who's scored, you know, double digits goals for years kind of thing. And everybody's like, oh, yeah, this team should be able to score lots of goals, et cetera, et cetera. now we're kind of doing the same thing this year. It's just the instead of the team is so fast and young, now it's experienced and better movement. Can it last? Yeah. Can they keep doing it game in, game out as teams start to go, oh, Sporting is a different team this year. How do we stop that? In past years, they would bunker and counter. Now maybe they have to come out and play us, which is fine with me. Better soccer. But I understand the desire to say, oh, yes, they're in contention for the Supporters' Shield because technically they are. But then again, technically Seattle's in contention for the Supporters' Shield at this point.
Well, in our conference, the only team that gives me any scare right now is maybe FC Dallas, maybe, and the jury's still out on them. So I think we're clearly the strongest team in our conference.
LAFC doesn't scare you?
LAFC is very good.
LAFC has too much defensive problems to worry.
LA's lot personally doesn't scare you at least a wee bit?
Oh, did you see how bad they looked last night?
It was bad.
They're no better with him than they were without him. But it's the Eastern Conference team maybe beating each other up, and I think it's going to come down to how many points we can get against those Eastern Conference teams when we play them head-to-head. That might determine a Supporters' Shield. But another question would be, is Supporters' Shield more important than MLS Cup, or isn't it?
I mean, it's not, but I want a Supporters' Shield desperately.
Because?
Because that's the soccer trophy, man. That's the real one. Like, I know this is America,
right,
and we like our playoffs.
I got
you. Like, that's great, but like, who was the best team of a season? The Supporters' Shield winner, undeniably.
Right.
And I would like to see Sporting win
a
real treble, not like the treble that Toronto got with the Canadian Cup. that's a two and a halfer, not a treble.
But perhaps we're more better positioned to win an MLS Cup because if we are the strength of our Western Conference, continue to be, we get those home playoff games and Eastern teams beat the crap out of each other and knock somebody out of the playoffs, it's a lower seed and we get a home game for MLS Cup. If we make that far, I think we're better positioned to do that maybe. But
I think everyone in MLS knows the Supporters Shield is the better trophy to win, but once a team wins one, there are 12 other teams that are like, no, 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 no.
Yeah, right.
Or there are 11 other teams that are like, no, 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 there's still another. This is the real trophy. What is the one that we actually wanted to win?
Yeah.
That's the only reason it does that.
I think they all want to win both. And the little sister is the Open Cup, obviously. So
yeah. That Supporters Shield is just so cool.
And
we
haven't won one. Name, I like it.
We need another number
2000.
Up on that side of the
18
wall.
18 years, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's
that side of the wall is getting right side heavy on the wall.
So was Friday night the first time I've heard it? Maybe you guys have heard it, but where they said in the pregame intro, you see all the years on the wall, we see more space for more,
yeah,
or whatever.
The,
was it
the
first
intro,
time they said that?
I think I've heard that one other time
have
in
you?
Their,
okay.
in their game
all
intro.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked it. That was
yeah.
a good line.
I did not hear it, but I actually really don't pay much attention to that. I'm looking for photo opportunities
exactly,
usually if I'm
yeah.
on the field.
Well, I've been late coming in the last couple of times because of the ticketing thing, but anyway, so.
Which they need to fix.
Yeah, big time.
All right, so that's it for Is or Isn't. But yeah, it's the most excited I've been about a Sporting Kansas City team since 2013. So yeah,
a lot of promise and a lot of progress, especially in some of those individual guys, which I think will only hopefully carry on throughout the season as we have talked about. But yeah.
No, and I do think they're a better team than last year. So don't get me wrong in that regard. I do think they're a better team. I do think they're better suited to make that run. But I've also felt that in the past and been
yeah.
wrong. So
let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Exactly. That's it's probably good to like for you know debate topics, but at the same time, I'm trying to be realistic. So
yeah, yeah.
Okay,
Cody,
are we going to? Yeah, we're just gonna do it. We're a radio show. You guys come to us for really quality radio content, and that is why we're about to do another. Show and tell with Thad Bell.
I did bring something.
Oh, it was funny last week. Somebody
asked,
how did you get a bobblehead in a B2? Yeah.
And then they listened to the rest of the podcast.
Yeah.
And went, oh,
you did brag already that you brought something. So
did I?
I didn't just conjure that knowledge up.
Man, I don't remember these things. Apparently, I like mentioned this in a previous podcast, so somebody asked me about it this week. But
oh yeah, I know what it is.
It's a pretty cool story.
Oh, that's not what I thought it was. Oh, that is what I thought it was. Okay, Whitecaps jersey.
Yeah, it's a Whitecaps jersey. One thing, when Vancouver came into the league, A, I had nothing against them, and I pretty much already hated Seattle, so I was kind of like rooting for Vancouver to, you know, knock them off a little bit. And other reasons I kind of like Vancouver. But the big one is the name on the front of their jersey is they were sponsored by Bell. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Your namesake.
Yeah. So, you know, it's supposed to be about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back, right?
Precisely. The sponsor. It's all about in that sponsor case. Bucks, baby.
So anyway, I asked a sporting staffer if they could do me a favor and just see if they could snag me something with a uniform-related view. Just even a training t-shirt that had like the sponsor on it, because I just thought it'd be kind of cool as a souvenir. And after the game, they came walking up to me and gave me this and said, don't tell anybody where you got it. So I won't do that now. But
this is long ago. The statute of limitations. We've talked about this, right? Hasn't it passed?
They might still work for the team.
Hey, and he's a U.S. national teamer, right? Jay DeMeritt?
Yeah, so he handed me a Jay DeMeritt jersey, game-worn Jay DeMeritt jersey from the first Vancouver game at Sporting.
Did you wash it?
Yes.
He smelled before answering.
Actually, it's like I can't wear it. It's Jay DeMeritt's way tinier than I am. So the last time, I think the only time it's ever been worn other than Jay DeMeritt is probably my daughter when she was 13. So
it's one thing you got to love about the authentic jerseys that they sell around the world for soccer. They're incredibly slim fitting, and men around the world don't care about that. Don't care about the belly that hangs out.
So yeah, it's just kind of a cool souvenir. I've never asked for something from the other teams in any way, shape, or form, or autographs or anything like that. But I just thought it'd be cool. Like I was just thinking, like maybe snag a training top or a t-shirt or something. And then he hands me this Jay DeMeritt game worn jersey,
real deal.
Of a U.S. national teamer and guy who had a great story about how he got into soccer. So.
What is Bell?
Telephone? Is it not?
Like Western Bell, like that?
There's like Canadian Bell, I think. Which, by the way, when I got out of the Marine Corps, going back to my history, I applied for a job with Southwestern Bell and told them I was a legacy. They had to hire me. They laughed.
How dare they?
So I went to work for a competitor.
You got him back in that way.
We were talking about jerseys. You had a question you were going to ask about jerseys. Okay, I'll ask it. We're going to make this just your favorite Sporting Kansas City player right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
I remember. If you, did I just, what is wrong with
you
me?
You just mentioned that.
I literally mentioned it not that long ago. Okay, guys, if you, with the current team, had to rep one jersey for a player on the current roster, who would it be?
You as grown men, if you were going to put another grown man's name on your back.
That name better be living up to that honor.
So who goes first?
Go ahead, then.
Ilya.
Good one. Why?
Because I kind of love the guy. no, he's...
You cannot love Ilya. He's...
Anytime I can get Cody to bang his head on the desk, it's probably a good sign. I was so impressed with him last year. I don't think he's had his best year this year so far, but I was so impressed with him last year about how smart he is, how good of a player he is, how nice of a guy he is, how much better he made the team last year. He is also one step removed from, you know, probably my favorite player that's not Kansas City related, Messi. So I feel like, you know, anytime I shake Ilya's hand, whether he's lathered his butt with lotion or not,
I was hoping that would come up.
Yikes, that was a reference to another podcast. And I don't know that we have enough recurring listeners for that kind of thing yet.
So anyway, I figure that just, you know, puts me 1 degree away from Messi.
That's fair.
There you go.
Or is that 2 degrees? How does that count? Is that 1 degree or 2 degrees?
Never my strong suit.
One hand and one butt. No. Anyway,
oh, yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. How do you measure?
That was kind of cheeky.
Get out, Zach. Get out of the studio.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Thad, I mean, you know, I don't want to repeat your answer, but Ilya is one hell of a guy, and I would not be ashamed to put his name on my back either. I'm not going to go with the popular choice right now, Johnny Russell, though he's a hell of a guy, too. And, I mean, you know, I'm a guy who falls in love. You know, I'm not that kind of love, but, you know, I'm a very emotional person, and those are two hell of people. They really are. But, you know, just the latest story I did on Roger, and I'm just reflecting on his career, I admire a lot about him, and he really is. I mean, the connection he makes throughout the team and everything, and how he seems to really bring everybody together. I think I'd choose Roger at this point.
Cody?
Yeah, we were on the same page. When Thad said Ilya, I was like, all right, I got to pick somebody else.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you said that, and I was like, all right, well, maybe Roger. Roger gets hated on for some reason. I'd like to rep him around here. But I'll say, man, Johnny Russell, I'll do it. Like, he's going to be here. I think he's going to be here. We just got him. I think he's going to be here for a minute. He seems to enjoy it here. And the fiery passion of hatred in his eyes, the pictures from that scuffle that we've had, that just, like, man, he's earned it.
And again, a lot of love for that guy, because it's been years since we had a guy who with that much fire and passion, and that might have been another Scotsman, Mo Johnston. So,
yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Good point. I guess I should give my answer. I'm not much of a – I have this weird thing about jerseys. Like, like wearing a jersey to a game. I don't know. I'm just like – I've never owned a jersey that I didn't, like, have to wear to my own game. But if I were to go against my typical fashion sense, I would – get a Graham Zusi jersey. He's one player that I've followed for a long time. I always enjoyed watching him on the national team, and just his run with Sporting. And I mean, I know he may be more of a classic choice to go with, just, you know, because he's been with the team for so long. But Thad was thinking I was going to say Shallowy, and he just pulled up a picture he took of me interviewing him after the game Friday. But no, well, I mean, would go with
Zusi. Zusi might be a guy, another one who's having his best year of his career.
Yeah, he looks great, and I'd be proud to wear that name on my back.
No, there's a lot of guys, and because don't get me wrong, there's a lot of guys on this team that I would have no problem wearing their name on my back in that regard. I do always feel like I'm a jinx as soon as I get somebody's name on a jersey. They're gone, they're traded, they retire, they're injured or something. So now I pretty much don't do it unless...
Thank you, Thad.
I get... unless they're retiring. The last person's jersey I got, and maybe I should save this for another show and tell, but was a retiring Sporting Kansas City player in their last season. So
right.
That was a good tease. I have a question. If you were to get a jersey, do you get a... like the actual one, or you get the like girl V-neck one? I don't know if those are like popular or not. I'm truly curious.
I don't know. I mean, I
have you seen them?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't know. I just like. I'd probably get the girl fitted one. It's more of my style. Throw on some jeans, a leather jacket, and boots, and then that's my signature look. I'm not into the oversized
and it works
jersey
for you, so,
thing.
You know, yeah.
So that's just my personal preference.
I thought you were going to just say like the real jersey because, you know, you're like a soccer player, rough and tough. And
well, those are ones that I would like hang up like if it was like signed. My great uncle, Trost, he actually got me a signed women's national team jersey with Mia Hamm.
Oh, really?
Oh, damn.
Yeah, and
that's
I
awesome.
Had that in a shadow box hanging up at home. So maybe that's what I'll bring in for my show and tell. So that was really cool. He was being honored at some Hall of Fame thing, and my dad had bought that jersey for me, and
awesome.
I gave it to Al, and he took it up and got Mia Hamm and a bunch of others. I'd have to go.
Brandi Chastain, Julie Foudy.
And then Christine Lilly was on there too,
Okay.
I believe.
Well,
yeah, she was one of my favorite players.
Was it from the World Cup, or was it just, I mean, the players that were there at the time?
I can't remember like what year it was. I don't think it was current players. Like I think Mia had actually been retired at that point.
Mia Hamm until I die.
I mean, she's it. Everyone growing up, every girl in my generation that played soccer wanted to be Mia Hamm. And I remember my biggest honor when I was 10 years old. I went to the UNC soccer camp, and they called me Mini Mia, and that is where I plateaued. And I don't think I've actually ever. lived up to that, but I was.
And that's where I plateaued.
And that's where it's at. But yeah, no, she was definitely my idol. I wanted to be her.
You were one of the reasons it was terrible to go to women's national team games. I loved women's soccer, but going to the women's national team's games is Mia, come here, Mia.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that would be a debate for some other time, but this will give you my answer, but because I don't remember her name. Who's the all-time leading scorer for the women's now? I can't remember her name.
Like, is
Alex
it,
Morgan.
No, Abby Wambach? Yeah, Abby Wambach. Yeah. Who was the better player, Abby Wambach or Mia Hamm? To me, the answer is Mia Hamm.
Mia Hamm, 100%.
In a landslide.
But 100%.
Mia was a better all-around player.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. Abby's got the strength, and that's what I don't like, having seen the women's soccer in general, just for whatever reason, is leaned more towards like having these like insanely like big, strong, like when we play other teams in other countries, it is like insane to see the size difference. And that's not like to say that they don't deserve to be on the team, like they're really good, but
right.
Mia Hamm, Christine Lilly, just like these great soccer players, very athletic. I could go on for a while, sorry.
Yeah.
When the women's national team won the World Cup with Mia Hamm and Michelle Cristal and those players.
Right.
They were really, really, really good soccer players.
They just outplayed
everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They may have been a little bit better physically, but they just outplayed everybody else. They were smart. They passed. They moved.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff.
Agree.
Over time, because of we probably should not get into this now, but over time, I think college soccer ruined the women's national team because there was more coaches that weren't good coaches.
Yes.
They were basically coaching long ball, and they're so fast. Kid, kick the ball long, let her run onto it and score. Oh, get a corner kick, kick it to the tall kid, and let her head it in. And that that right there is Abby Wambach and Alex Morgan.
Yep, yeah, that women's soccer. It was a sad time, and that's when I was growing up and playing. Really seeing, you know, there were some coaches who really took the time to. One of my best coaches, my high school coach, the assistant coach, actually played college ball at SLU, and she got the game so well, and she looked at what we had with the team and was able to like really help. We made a run to state, and we had lost some of like the most amazing seniors going to all these big colleges, and she was able to take a team that maybe didn't have all of the talent or all of the pieces and could find a way to make us dangerous. And yeah, so lazy coaching hurt women's soccer. You heard it here.
Yep, and I'm completely agreeing with you. We're gonna do a podcast just on this subject one day.
Dad, we should. Next week.
Mia Hamm over Abby Wambach for the same reason Messi's better than Ronaldo.
You want to know another reason I love Mia? Or used to, at least?
Yeah.
She was married to a Marine.
Yeah.
And then she divorced him and married some baseball player, so.
I was gonna say, I was like, Nomar Garcia Parra's a
yeah, really?
Marine. When did that happen? Okay. Any parting words? Like I said, we're going to try to do another one this week. Hopefully get some audio from practice and throw that into a pod and discuss
it.
Good
idea, Thad. I'm sorry, Cody.
later on in the week. But yeah, anyone else in here have a final thought for before we start our week?
Congratulations, Johan, for your first goal. And apparently Lobato's wife is pregnant from a celebration or something.
Yeah, that was a good catch.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't see a celebration.
Yeah, I did the baby under our ball under the shirt and thumb in the mouth thing. So
because when him and Krause hugged a lot, and then they were kind of blocked from me, so.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, did you guys see? I loved Krause after that goal. You could just see it all the fist pump. It was great.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, great fist pump. Great form.
Yeah, great form. Yeah, yeah.
And then when the team comes and congratulates him, and he just gives Ilya the biggest embrace and kiss on the cheek for the pass that he gave him that finally like set him up so perfectly for that goal. It was so good. I loved it. I laughed out loud watching it. It was great.
And it was a good finish, good timing. Very happy for the guy.
Just really impressed with how much height he was able to get on that jump. I don't think I can even jump
the
like
the celebration jump.
There was 8 games of frustration that came out.
Oh, definitely.
In that
coming all out. Still that hair though. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So Bob's gonna make a comment on hair, but I always get criticized when I talk about hair and other fashion related things.
I don't think we do criticize you. I'm here for all that conversation. I like it.
That'll be my own show. I'll think about it.
And congratulations, Matt Beasler.
Yes.
Yeah.
All time. Well deserved.
Definitely.
I liked Peter's crack in the press conference that KZ was nagging him all week to not play Beasley.
<You're right.
laughs> Yeah, that was good. I like having Beasley in that spot. Oh, captain, my captain.
And I think what he's going to break, like the next, there's another record because it's one record he broke now, the minutes, the.
Well,
games.
It was an MLS regular season, so it's probably overall minutes here soon. Or
overall games.
Yeah. Actually, he's probably got overall minutes. Don't we play in more competitions now than they ever did? We've had a couple CCL runs in there and more deep Open Cup runs.
Well, you're thinking about playoffs. That. Ali did make the comment that when you see Matt Beasley in the other team's box,
you know
something's going on in the game. That's
yeah,
a little different.
I almost wonder, it's like, was that the best game for him to make that, like, that huge accomplishment? Because, like, there were so many other things.
If he had scored, that
on.
Would have been amazing.
If he had scored, I mean, I remember seeing him. I was like, was that five in the opposing team's box? I was like, it's not a corner. So no set piece. I'm like, yeah, that's when you know the ejections were really hurting.
He hasn't scored since 2016, so.
Well, he was in the best position.
He has three career goals. So.
We need to keep a list of all just the running absurdities from this team and like how weird this team is. Like Graham Zusi getting a ball flying down the left side of the field. And Matt Beasley playing in the box. We were so far up the field. And Jimmy Madronda going up against Zlatan.
One thing I'm really glad about, though, is nobody asked about, you know, is it strange that a outside back scored again in the damn press conference?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I literally thought that exact same thing. I was like waiting for, Madronda. Not even a question. Just like Madronda scoring.
How?
How? Yeah. No, that's another thing I love about this team in the depth. It's like seeing Zusi and Madronda get goals for Sporting and, you know, still waiting for Shelton, but seeing the defense step up and score some big goals like that is really cool.
All right, Cody, what are we at time-wise? We need to shut this down.
Too long.
We did pretty well. I was letting you guys vamp here in case somebody said something cool. But yes, let's
Do we ever?
Have we ever? Yeah. So go back and listen to all of them. Because we're really good. I'm gonna try to put together a sizzle reel. Can I like assign? Can you like assign podcasts that you guys will go back and listen to and come up with good moments so we can make a sizzle reel?
Sounds good to me.
I can do that.
That doesn't want it. That wanted no part of that. I got a stone cold face to that.
I've got time to do that.
I was
I'm busy enough, man. Like when the guy talked to me this weekend at the game and said about, did you tell this story? I'm like, I don't remember if I did or not.
So Thad, do you listen to the podcast?
No.
God damn.
I'm here. I don't have to listen to it.
Can I admit something here? Every night I leave here, I think, okay, it was an okay podcast. But then I listen, it's like, oh, it's a lot better than I thought it was.
Yeah. I have listened to like one or two, but I hate hearing my own voice, which is unfortunate for the career path that I really am passionate about. But I will end on something funny. As you guys know, Cody and I went to Forks and Corks last week. And I think
I was going to make a joke about that.
He thought he was going to get away without you guys hearing this.
So
but so he comes by my apartment and we then proceed to get an Uber. We get in the Uber. He actually, as he walked in, was like, I remember the tickets. And we're like, yes, perfect. I would hope so. And we get to Arrowhead, get out of the Uber. The tickets, we realize, are on my kitchen table still. So we go all the way back and then all the way back again. But it was a funny note to a really fun night and great cause. But yeah, just had to give Cody some shit.
And a little, go ahead.
I have no excuses. I'm just going to have to watch the tape and come back stronger next week. That's all I got.
That's a good response, Cody.
And but kudos. Really, though, like, she opened the door to her apartment, and, like, I forgot what my name was. So there wasn't much I could do about that. Okay, so next week, we've officially gone too long now. I thought it was going to be short. Now I think we've gone long.
Can't cut that part out.
Send us some questions, because now we have time. So we're going to post this Monday morning. Send us questions to ask Bermese and Co. on Tuesday.
I'll be at training.
and they will ask those questions for you. And then we will discuss them on air. So send us those, and we will talk to you later in the week.
Skipper has just been sent off. Support a strong evolve. Don't stop my foot buttons. Got me drinking. My foot buttons. Got me drinking. My foot buttons. Got me drinking. Give me beer or whiskey, wine or gin. Anything to shake this foot I'm in. My foot buttons. Got me drinking. My foot buttons. Got me drinking. My foot buttons got me drinking.